Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with God Destroys Moab, as we pick up in Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 11. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
As God speaks of the destruction that is coming upon Moab, now he gives us the reason for the destruction that is coming. For Moab has been at ease from his youth. Moab has not had any problems. Moab has been sheltered and protected. And because of it being sheltered and protected, it has become weak. And it is ready now to fall. And then he turns to a illustration of winemaking processes and uses that as a illustration of Moab having settled in her lees. In the making of wine, they would pour the juice of the grape into a large container, and then they would allow it to just set there until it fermented. And after the fermentation, these lees or dregs would begin to settle to the bottom of the vessel. And as these dregs had settled in the bottom of the vessel, then they would pour off the top into another vessel, allow the settling process to go on again, and then pour it off into the next vessel, back and forth from vessel to vessel, letting the dregs settle down and developing the clarity and purity of the wine. Now, when these dregs began to settle, if you did not pour the wine off of the dregs, then the dregs turned sour and they began to smell. And he said, this is the problem with Moab. It's been at ease, never had any problem, never been disturbed, never poured from vessel to vessel. It has settled down on the lees, which have turned sour, and thus the scent remains. The taste is in the wine of the sourness of the lees. And thus Moab is to be destroyed. It is interesting how that we often complain at the processes of God in our lives as he pours us from vessel to vessel. We have sort of a nesting instinct. We like to get comfortable. We like to relax and kick back and think, well, we've got it made. And it's so easy for us to get in a rut. But the great danger of this is forgetting God and leaving God out of our lives. Oh, God has a place. Yes, I've got a neat little compartment over here. God, and you're welcome. Feel free. Come and visit anytime you want. Always glad to see you. Providing you don't come next weekend, because we plan to be gone next weekend. But anytime, Lord. But a couple weeks from now, we're going again. But anytime, Lord, we're always glad to see you. Amazing how we sort of begin to leave God out of our lives as we begin to just settle in our lees in this life of the flesh and after the flesh. It is so easy to just sort of drift away from that commitment to God. In Hebrews, we are told, let us take the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should drift away from them. There are those times when God pours us from a vessel to another, and we say, God, what's going on? And suddenly God has our attention. He begins to deal with us. We renew our commitment, and we say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. And genuinely we are. We meant the vows when we made them to God. And we are genuinely sorry for our failures and for our drifting away from God. And God disturbs our lives. He brings in disturbing issues. And he can disturb our lives in so many ways. By sickness, by accident, by the loss of a job. So many ways God can just bring a disturbance into our lives. And God does bring them for that purpose of purifying us. We've got too much flesh. We're beginning to settle in a life of the flesh. And God says it stinks. It's beginning to permeate your whole life. You're beginning to smell of the flesh. And so God pours you into another vessel, disrupts, disturbs, in order that he might refine. But that didn't happen to Moab. And because it didn't happen, now Moab is to be destroyed. Therefore, the days will come, saith the Lord, that I will send unto him wanderers that shall cause him to wander and shall empty his vessels and break their bottles. And Moab shall be ashamed of Chemosh. Now that was the Moabitish god. As the house of Israel was ashamed of Bethel, their confidence. So the place of worship for Israel was in Bethel, but at its destruction, they became ashamed. So the place of worship, Chemosh, for the Moabites was going to become the same as Bethel. How say ye, we are mighty and strong men for the war? Moab is spoiled and gone up out of her cities, and her chosen young men are gone down to the slaughter, saith the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts. The calamity of Moab is near to come, and his affliction is hastening fast. All ye that are about him bemoan him, and all ye that know his name say, how is the strong staff broken and the beautiful rod? Thou daughter that dost inhabit Dibon, come down from thy glory, sit in thirst, for the spoiler of Moab shall come upon thee, and he shall destroy thy strongholds. O inhabiter of Aor, stand by the way and spy and ask him that is fleeing and her that is escaped, and say, what has happened? Moab is confounded, for it is broken down. Howl and cry, tell it. In Arnon, Moab is spoiled. The judgment has come upon the plain country. And it begins to name these cities of Moab that have been destroyed. And all the cities of the land of Moab, both far and near, the horn or strength of Moab is cut off, and his arm is broken, saith the Lord. Make ye him drunken, for he has magnified himself against the Lord. Moab also shall wallow in his vomit. He shall be in derision. For was not Israel a derision unto thee? And of course, when Israel was destroyed, Moab also attacked Israel. And so now Moab is to receive like and being a derision. For since you spake of him, you have skipped for joy. They were happy at the destruction of Israel. O ye that dwell in Moab, leave the cities, dwell in the rock. Be like the dove that maketh her nest in the sides of the hole's mouth. We have heard the pride of Moab. He is exceeding proud, his pride and the haughtiness of his heart. I know his wrath, saith the Lord, but it shall not be so. His lies shall not so affect it. Therefore I will howl for Moab. I will cry out for all of Moab. My heart shall mourn for the men of Kirharis. O vine of Sibmah, I will weep for thee with the weeping of Jazer. Thy plants are gone over the sea. They reach even to the sea of Jazer. The spoiler is fallen upon thy summer fruits and upon thy vintage. And joy and gladness is taken from the plentiful field and from the land of Moab. And I have caused wine to fail from the wine presses. None shall tread with shouting. Their shouting shall be no shouting. From the cry of Heshbon, even unto Eleleh, and even to Jahaz have they uttered their voice for Zoar, even unto Horonaim, as the heifer of 3 years old, for the waters of Nimrim shall be desolate. Moreover, I will cause to cease in Moab, saith the Lord, him that offereth in the high places, and that him that burneth incense to their gods. Therefore my heart shall sound for Moab like pipes, my heart shall sound like pipes for the men of Kirharis. Because of the riches that he has gotten are perished, for every head shall be bald, every beard clipped, upon all the hands shall be cuttings, and upon the loins sackcloth. These were the pagan ways of expressing their mourning, in the shaving of their heads, the cutting of their beards, and the cutting of their bodies and putting on of sackcloth. It's the typical sign of mourning, and thus Moab will be in mourning. There shall be lamentations generally upon the housetops of Moab and in the streets. For I have broken Moab like a vessel wherein is no pleasure, saith the Lord. Very graphic. They shall howl, saying, how is it broken down? How hath Moab turned back with shame? And so shall Moab be a derision and a dismaying to all of them about him. For thus saith the Lord, behold, he shall fly as an eagle, and shall spread his wings over Moab. Kerioth is taken, and the strongholds are surprised, and the mighty men's hearts in Moab at that day shall be as the heart of a woman in her travail. Moab shall be destroyed from being a people, because he hath magnified himself against the Lord. Met any Moabites lately? God said they'd be destroyed from being a people. Fear in the pit and the snare shall be upon thee, O inhabitant of Moab. He that fleeth from the fear shall fall in the pit. He that gets out of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For I will bring upon it, even upon Moab, the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. They that fled stood under the shadow of Heshbon because of the force, but a fire shall come forth out of Heshbon, and the flame from the midst of Sihon, and shall devour the corner of Moab and the crown of the head of the tumultuous ones. Woe be unto thee, O Moab! The people of Chemosh perisheth, for thy sons are taken captives and thy daughters captives. Yet will I bring again the captivity of Moab in the latter days, saith the Lord. Thus far is the judgment of Moab. And so Moab's in trouble. And surely God did fulfill these prophecies that were declared against Moab. Now, in chapter 49, he speaks first of the Ammonites. Now, the Ammonites were those people who were north of Moab and east of the Jordan, in the upper Jordan area, east of the Sea of Galilee and the Golan Heights, the area of the Ammonites. So concerning the Ammonites, thus saith the Lord, has Israel no son? Has he no heir? Why then doth their king inherit Gad, for his people are dwelling in his cities? Now you remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and after their 40 years, or towards the end of their 40-year wanderings, they came north and began to conquer some of the territory on the east side of Jordan in that Golan Heights and in the area that became Ammon. And when Joshua gathered the people together to begin their invasion of the land that God had promised, the tribe of Gad, the men from the tribe of Gad and Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh, they came and they said to Joshua, look, this is great cattle country, and we're cattlemen. We really don't care to go across the Jordan and to dwell on the other side. We're very happy here. Why don't you just let us have this land where we are? It's just great for us because it's good cattle country. Well, Joshua, his first reaction, he was quite upset. He could remember 40 years earlier when they were ready to go into the land and the spies brought back the report that there were giants and the cities were high and walled. And so Joshua was upset because he thought, oh my, if we don't go in now, we'll never going to make it. And if these guys start dissembling, then everybody will get discouraged. We won't go in. They said, no, you don't understand. We'll send our men in to fight with you, but let our children and our families stay here, and we'll come in and we'll fight as long as you need us until we've conquered the land. But then after the land has been conquered, we'd like to come back and dwell here. And so it was granted to the tribe of Gad that they could take their portion on the east side of the Jordan in the country of the Amorites and all that they had smitten. Well, their failure to come on into the land became critical later in their history. And they were the first of the tribes to fall to the enemies. And the Ammonites came against them and took their cities. Now, here is a reference of Jeremiah to the fact that the cities that belonged to the tribes of Gad were now inhabited by the Ammonites. And so he says, is there no heir of Gad and so forth? Why is it that the Ammonites are possessing the cities of Gad? Therefore, behold, the days will come, saith the Lord, that I will cause an alarm of war to be heard in Rabbah of the Ammonites. Now, Rabbah is the modern Amman in Jordan. So that will give you a little bit of the idea of the location. And it shall be a desolate heap, and her daughter shall be burned with fire. Then shall Israel be heir to them that were his heirs, saith the Lord. Israel will get back that territory. Howl, O Heshbon, for Ai is spoiled. Cry, ye daughters of Rabbah, gird you with sackcloth, and lament, and run to and fro by the hedges, for their king shall go into captivity, and his priest and princes together. Why did you glory in the valleys, thy flowing valley, O backsliding daughter that trusted in her treasures, saying, who shall come unto me? Behold, I will bring a fear upon thee, saith the Lord God of hosts, from all of those that be about thee, and ye shall be driven out every man right forth, and none shall gather him that wanders. And afterward I will bring again the captivity of the children of Ammon, saith the Lord. Now he goes south, and his next prophecy is against Edom, which is the area that is south from Moab, and probably at this time was the, whereas the rock city of Petra was in the boundaries of Edom, for there is a reference here to that rock city of Petra. So Edom, the descendants of Esau. Concerning Edom, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Now Teman was one of the cities of Edom, and this is probably a reference to Eliphaz, who was one of those men who came to comfort Job. Eliphaz the Temanite. And so this is the same Teman that was the home place of Eliphaz, the counselor of Job. And this is probably a reference to the fact that Eliphaz came with the wisdom of the world to counsel with Job concerning his problems. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? You remember Job said to him, well, surely you are the people and wisdom is going to die with you. Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? Flee ye, turn back, dwell deep, O inhabitants of Dedan. Dedan is interesting. Of course, this area of Edom is now the area, much of it, of Saudi Arabia comes up into this area, the area of Dedan. It is interesting that when you realize that Dedan is this present Saudi Arabia, Sheba and Dedan would be identified as Saudi Arabia. To me, it is very interesting as we look at the prophetic overview of our present day. For God tells us in Ezekiel that there would be the rebirth of the nation Israel, and when the rebirth would take place, that he would put an evil thought into the minds of the leaders in Russia, and they would come forth with a mighty invading army to invade the land of Israel. And it gives the allies that will be coming with Russia, Libya, Ethiopia, Iran, Iraq, the Balkan states, Eastern European states, And it says that when Russia makes this invasion, that Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish and the young lions thereof will say unto her, what are you doing invading this little land? It isn't right. It's not fair. Now, though I oftentimes am concerned as far as what our nation is doing in the light of Bible prophecy, I know that when the showdown comes, Saudi Arabia will be speaking out against the Russian invasion. And so the Russian invasion of Israel. So though they may make a lot of anti-Israel noise, yet when the showdown comes, Saudi Arabia will be speaking up for Israel. Of course, Saudi Arabia is concerned because with Russia's invasion, the real target will probably be the tremendous oil reserves down there in Saudi Arabia. But Saudi Arabia will not be an enemy to Israel in that major conflict that is coming.
Verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Jeremiah in our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Jeremiah 48 through 49 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now may the Lord be with you and bless you. May you just experience more and more the grace and the fullness of our Lord. As you yield your lives to Him, may you discover God's blessed plan that He has in mind for you. And may you not come short in any spiritual gift. May you abound in all things in Christ Jesus as we wait for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you, and the Lord bless you.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Through the course of the years, you, our radio listeners, have provided us with valuable feedback as to what has impacted you the most, or what has moved you spiritually in your walk with God. So it's with great pleasure that The Word for Today is pleased to offer you a collection of all-time favorites entitled Pastor Chuck Smith's Most Requested Bible Studies. These messages were selected from thousands of studies that were recorded live at Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa over the past 40 years. They represent the very best Bible studies by Pastor Chuck Smith. Every message is dynamic and filled with rich insights as Pastor Chuck expounds upon relevant issues on a variety of topics related to the Christian faith. This series will strengthen and inspire you to diligently study the Word of God and apply it to your life. You can order a copy of Pastor Chuck's Most Requested Bible Studies available on MP3 by calling The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.